Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, October 19, 2017. We've got a loaded hour in store for all of you out there on today's Current Sports. We'll talk a lot of college basketball today, seeing as though Michigan State's own Miles Bridges has been selected as the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year. Now, again, it's just a preseason poll. All right. So, again, the college basketball season hasn't even started, but it just goes to show, further goes on the show, just how much hype is surrounded around this young man who is now a sophomore here at Michigan State. So we'll talk about Miles Bridges and the implications of that preseason honor heading into the 2017-18 men's basketball year for Tom Izzo's troops. We will also welcome to the show a dear friend of ours from right here in mid-Michigan, Mr. Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball columnist for CBS Atlanta. We'll not only dissect Michigan State men's basketball with Deshaun, but we will talk about last night's one-on-one interview that Jay Billis performed with now former Louisville men's basketball coach Rick Pitino. Saw a bit of a preview of that interview after yesterday's Current Sports, and the entirety of the interview was aired last night on ESPN SportsCenter. We'll get the reaction from Deshaun Tate, and we will dive into the FBI college basketball investigation and ask Deshaun what kind of ripple effect this will have on this year's men's college hoop year. Also, last night, the Detroit Pistons, they christened their new home, downtown Detroit, at Little Caesars Arena with a win over Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets. Nice win for the red, white, and royal blue. We'll have a few takeaways from that game. It's also Thursday, and you guys know each and every Thursday we hop into our Current Sports time machine to take a look at exactly what occurred on this date in sports history. We call it Throwback Thursday. And we'll wrap things up by discussing the NFL ratings taking a fall so far through 6 weeks. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of the fun, you know that number. Multiple ways you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call to be a part of our airwaves. You can also join us via social media at Facebook.com/currentsports, where we have the live stream up and running, and even tweet us at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle, or you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. right, and we begin with the Michigan State women's volleyball team. What a night it was at Jennison Fieldhouse as the number 10 Michigan State women's volleyball squad earned a 3-1 dub over in-state rival Michigan last night. That game was on national television on ESPNU. The Spartans now improved to 14-4 on the season and 7-2 in the Big Ten Conference. These two teams won't meet again until November 15th in Ann Arbor. Senior, Rachel Manerick entered the night with a career-best 58 assists and 4 double-digit kill performances. Autumn Bailey and Holly Tolliver also had double-double nights. The Spartans will next face off against Maryland on October 21st, 2 days from now. Miles Bridges. Yeah, to nobody's surprise, Miles Bridges was named preseason Big Ten Player of the Year at Big Ten Media Day in New York this morning. His Spartan teammate Nick Ward was also on the preseason All-Big Ten team, along with Michigan's Moritz Wagner, Maryland's Justin Jackson, Minnesota's Amir Coffey, and Nate Mason, Northwestern's Bryant McIntosh and Scotty Lindsey, Purdue's Vincent Edwards, and Wisconsin's Ethan Happ. Last season, Bridges was preseason second team All-Big Ten and Freshman of the Year, but this year he's looking to reach higher and earn National Player of the Year. All right, the Big Ten also announced it will be moving to a 20-game conference schedule in men's basketball starting next season. Under this new format, teams will play 7 opponents twice and 6 teams once, 3 home, 3 away, in a year. The new schedule also means in similar area, we'll see an increase in the number of games played against one another. That means good things for the Michigan State and Michigan men's basketball rivalry. In a span of 6 years, in-state rivals Spartans and Wolverines will play each other a total of 12 games. Regional opponents will play 10 times, and all other teams will meet 9 times. Detroit basketball, folks, how about the Detroit Pistons? They are back and opened up their season with a 102-90 win over the Charlotte Hornets last night at Little Caesars Arena in downtown D. Tobias Harris, he was fantastic last night. He led the team with 27 points, 10 boards, the first of what should be many double-doubles for him this year. Langston Galloway from Isaac's Pelicans. And, you know, I didn't even know Langston, he's been really a journeyman throughout his NBA career. He's played for multiple teams. I was very impressed with what he was able to do coming off the bench, adding 16 points off the bench as 5 Pistons wound up in double figures for scoring, 3 of those being starters. The next contest for the Pistons will be against RPA Davies, Washington Wizards, and John Wall in D.C. on Friday night. All right, Tom Gorris. I absolutely love Tom Gorris as the owner of the Detroit Pistons. He's so energetic and lively. Tom Gorris, he publicly said yesterday that he would be okay if his players decided to kneel for the national anthem, saying, quote, if that's what he wants to do, absolutely, end quote. He's one of the only owners across all of professional sports to come out and say that he doesn't mind his players kneeling. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones recently stated that he wants all of his players to stand. Other NBA teams locked arms in a display of unity for the playing of the anthem across the league on opening night. So with the Pistons kneel, we shall see. Roger Goodell also held a press conference just moments after we signed off on yesterday's Current Sports to address the national anthem protest in the National Football League. Had a few interesting things to say, which I'll bring to the forefront here on Current Sports later on this hour. So you don't want to miss that. All right, the Detroit Red Wings fell last night to the Toronto Maple Leafs 6-3. The Rings' record now falls to 4-3-0 on the year. Nazem Nadri would open up scoring on the Maple Leafs, first shot of the game, beating goaltender Jimmy Howard. Zach Hyman would only add to that lead on the Leafs' second shot of the game. Howard was pulled after the Wings went down 3-0 and was replaced by Peter Mrazek. Not even a minute after Mrazek came in, the Leafs would go up 4-0. The Wings will next play at home on Friday night against the Washington Capitals. Tiger star Miguel Cabrera was originally scheduled to have his deposition later this afternoon, but that has now been postponed until October 27th. Belkis Mariela Rodriguez, a 35-year-old Orlando floral shop owner, filed a paternity suit against Miggy back in August, alleging that he abruptly cut back on child support payments for the two children he is the father of. Attorneys have requested testing to confirm both children are his, despite the birth certificates stating that they are indeed Cabrera's children. I believe even Miggy signed those birth certificates. So I will keep you posted on that drama. The Detroit Lions made a trio of transactions today, on Wednesday, including bringing back sixth-round draft pick Brad Kaya. Lions claimed the rookie quarterback off of waivers from the Carolina Panthers. Detroit also signed defensive end Dracuius Smith and offensive tackle Bryce Harris. Kaya previously was cut from the Lions roster months ago when signed by Carolina. This week, they released him, allowing the Lions to reclaim him. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, later on this hour, we will be chatting with Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball columnist for CBS Atlanta. We'll be diving into Miles Bridges, chosen as the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year. We'll recap the Pistons' opening season win at Little Caesars Arena last night, and we will have Throwback Thursday for you and more. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I see many of you already weighing in via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I'll do my best to get to those comments, and again, tweet us at my Twitter handle, at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports. Here we go.
Toughest things you have to do, and hope you never do it, is take a lie detector test. You have a blood pressure machine, you're wired up, and I was asked two questions. I said, and I want you to ask me if any other recruits in my tenure were ever given anything. And he said, that's not what we're here for. We're here for, did you have any knowledge of the Bowen family getting any money? Did you have any knowledge of an Adidas transaction? And I answered, absolutely not on both questions, and passed the lie detector test. So I had no knowledge of any of this. Jay, all I can tell you is I don't answer to those people. I answer to my players who have been over the top in support of me. I answer to my assistant coaches and, most important, my family. But the one person you got to answer to in life is God. And I sit here today and tell you, should I have known that somebody walked into a hotel room? And that I don't see how I could possibly know. Let's just say I take ownership for who I hired and take full responsibility for that.
Do you believe you will coach again?
I don't know. I'm not sure I want to. Don't know.
How do you think this affects your legacy?
My legacy is really not important because I'm not that significant.
Bit of Rafael Saadiq on this Thursday afternoon here on WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show right here live on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin. Wow, just one day away from the weekend. Can't believe it. This week has absolutely just flown by. I'm trying to mentally prepare for tomorrow. I tell you that. It's going to be a busy, busy, busy day for your boy tomorrow. Seeing as though I will, of course, be live here on the airwaves at 1 o'clock. Then tomorrow, there will be many Michigan State sports journalism alum live here in the Comm Arts building, the Communication Arts and Sciences building here on the campus of Michigan State University. Seeing as though this will be, I'm not even sure which, how many years this has been going on now, Isaac. I mean, the Spartan Sports Journalism Classic is what they call it. So there will be many MSU sports alum, sports journalism alum in the house for that. So I'll be a part of a panel discussion later on that afternoon. And then later on, I will be emceeing alongside our engineer, Isaac Constance, for the MSU homecoming parade. And then I will be the MC for the third straight year now. It's always fun doing this event. I've had a ball the last 2 years doing it, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a lot of fun tomorrow night as well. But I will be emceeing Michigan State Madness, which is always a fun event to get everybody here in the area ready for Michigan State men's and women's basketball. I'm curious, you know, to figure out what time Izzo is going to do this year. He always, you know, has something special planned and comes out doing something. And last year, you know, he had just been inducted into the, you know, the Basketball Hall of Fame. So he just came out with his Hall of Fame jacket on and took it off and put on his practice vest and said, look, I still got work to do. I thought that was a pretty cool moment. Not sure what he's going to do this year. I hope it's something crazy and fun for the fans. And Susie Merchant always brings it as well. I mean, we've seen her, you know, be Beyonce. She was Beyonce 1 year, for goodness sake. So looking forward to that tomorrow. And I'm curious to know, you know, what do you want to see Tom Izzo do tomorrow? What do you want to see Susie Merchant do tomorrow? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I just want to briefly touch on what you just heard during that intro. Rick Pitino, now former head coach of the Louisville men's basketball program. We're going to dive more into those comments in about a little more than 10 minutes from now with Deshaun Tate, college basketball columnist for CBS Atlanta. Definitely want to get Deshaun's thoughts on last night's one-on-one interview with ESPN's Jay Billis and Rick Pitino. But, you know, I'm not buying anything that Pitino is selling right now. Watching that interview with Jay Billis yesterday, you know, I had a lot of thoughts going through my head. But I'm just sitting there saying that this dude will not accept responsibility for anything that has led to his firing now at Louisville. I just don't understand it. And again, I've hammered this point home multiple times when discussing the situation at Louisville. And heck, even looking at the FBI investigation as a whole, that is, again, dominating headlines in the world of, unfortunately, dominating headlines in the world of men's college basketball right now, just the entire FBI investigation itself. If you are the head coach of a program and you have not been following the rules and you have been, you know, throwing money at young studs, trying to woo that young stud to come to your college basketball program so that you can keep your job and get wins and compete for national championships. If you have not been doing it by the book, you are in the wrong. And you can claim and sit up there all you want, as Rick Pitino has done multiple times now, and he did it last night with Jay Billis. You can sit up there and say, I had no knowledge of what was going on. I didn't know my assistant coaches were trying to bribe players, or I didn't know my assistant coaches were doing this or doing that or doing this. If you are the boss of those individuals, it is your responsibility. Simple as that. And Rick Pitino has just constantly just dodged responsibility. He tried to straddle the fence last night when listening to that interview, saying, yeah, I admit to hiring bad apples, basically. I admit to that. But I didn't know what was going on. Stop it, Rick. Just stop it. So I definitely want to get your thoughts on that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In about 10 minutes, we'll get to, again, Deshaun Tate of CBS Atlanta. Before I move along and I talk about Miles Bridges, who has been chosen as preseason Big Ten Player of the Year. Big news there. No surprise, though. Miles Bridges setting the college basketball world on fire when announcing in front of the Spartan statue on campus, you know, earlier this year that he will be returning for a sophomore campaign just really caused a lot of people to say, oh my goodness, Michigan State is going to be really good next year. And Miles Bridges coming back for a sophomore year, the kid can only get better. Before I dive into that, I want to invite to the show one of our callers where our phone lines are blowing up as we speak. We've got Michael from Saginaw who wants to weigh in on line one. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, man? I got two quick good questions for you. How's Draymond Green doing?
I'm not sure. I know he had an MRI yesterday. Of course, you saw Draymond get injured in the season opener now, what, 2 days ago against the Houston Rockets. But I know he had an MRI. I'm not sure what the result of that MRI is. I don't think it's anything, Isaac, when I watched it, I don't think it's anything too serious, though. I think Draymond will probably be fine. That's my guess. I'm no doctor. I'm not sure what the result of the MRI was.
Agreed. That's my initial assessment, too.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk to you about, the process. Do you trust the process now in Philadelphia and Ben Simmons?
Well, I tell you what, Ben Simmons, did he look good or what last night? My goodness. And also, you know, just looking at the entire league, I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I love saying that name.
It's a great name.
It's a great name. He looked fabulous. I think that Giannis, man, he's unguardable. The kid really is. I mean, there's nothing that he can't do. He's so freakishly athletic. But yeah, and Ben, I'm looking forward to seeing Ben. You know, a healthy year for him, knock on wood. I'm looking forward to seeing him out there on the basketball court. But, yeah, there's so many storylines to look forward to this NBA year. I mean, Lonzo Ball will make his NBA debut tonight as well, Mike. I mean, I could go on and on and on about the NBA.
What about Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, Kyrie. I tell you what, in game one, you know, against LeBron James, his former teammate and former team in the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, Kyrie Irving is Kyrie Irving. He's a dynamic ball handler. I stressed on yesterday's show how I'm in love with his mid-range jumper. You're going to see a lot of dribble handoffs when it comes to Kyrie Irving. But we are, again, with, you know, now Gordon Hayward, who actually sent a message to the Boston Celtics via video after having surgery yesterday. Now with Gordon Hayward out for the rest of the year, Kyrie Irving is going to have a lot of pressure on his back. We're going to really see. He wanted to be the man. Well, now he really is the man out in Boston.
Okay, here's one more question. I'll let you move it on. Did you see that Michigan State was going to be 5-1? Be honest.
No.
Football.
I said this on Monday, Mike. I mean, nobody. And if they said, if anybody out there predicted that Michigan State will be sitting at 5-1 right now, heading into what, week 7 of the college football year, you're crazy, and you're lying. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on now. I mean, this team went 3-9. You got a quarterback who had never previously, you know, been given the keys to the car playing the way he has played. You got this defense that is swarming around the football field. Nobody thought that Michigan State would have this record right now, Mike. No.
All right, then. I'm in the car today. I'm riding through Bay City, Michigan, so I better let you go ahead, and I'm going to listen to the rest of your show, man. So
appreciate
I'm in the car
it, Mike.
Today.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Definitely. Again, if you want to weigh in, just like my man Mike from Saginaw just did, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to get to a few comments on our Facebook page. But before I do, Isaac, you chimed in my ear during the intro of what occurred to Jeremy Lin last night. Now, I do want to acknowledge that because now in the first 2 days of the NBA regular season, we have seen two just ugly injuries, one to Gordon Hayward, now one to Jeremy Lin. And that was, I mean, watching Jeremy go up, he came down awkwardly. It looked like he hyperextended his knee initially for me. Then, you know, you saw the camera pan to him and he said, you know, he just looked shocked and then just voiced, I'm done, and then broke down in tears. Gosh, I mean, that's really tough because I thought that Jeremy was going to have a really entertaining and fun and productive year this season.
Me too. Paired next to D'Angelo Russell in that backcourt, the Nets had a lot to show this season, and that was just so sad because everybody knows how resilient and how tough Jeremy Lin is of all players. The story he has is still one of the best ones within the last 20 years in the NBA, but to see him, it was especially painful just because you saw when the pain hit too. At first, he was just shocked.
Yeah.
He knew something was wrong, but then he felt it. So I've got all the hope in the world for a quick recovery when it comes to him, but it did not look good last night.
No, not at all. All right, moving on now. I want to read one comment from one of our dear listeners and friends of the show. James Taylor weighs in on Michigan State men's basketball and says via Facebook.com/currentsports, not to be negative on Michigan State basketball. I hear this every year, how good they are going to be and nothing to show for it. I won't be a believer until they beat a Duke, Kentucky, or a Louisville and win the regular season Big Ten championship tournament. Interesting comments there, Isaac, because I feel like, you know, first off, to address that comment, I feel like many MSU men's basketball fans echo that very thought. Michigan State, I mean, we don't have to turn the page that far ago to remember when Michigan State was ranked numero uno, Vegas favorite Michigan State to win, you know, the NCAA championship two seasons ago. They come in, you know, highly ranked, highly touted, and they lose to Middle Tennessee State University, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Izzo has not won a national championship since 2000. And he's had some very talented teams. But, James, what I will say is, I mean, I don't think that Tom has had a team like this before. Don't get me wrong. No knock on the team from 2 years ago. No knock on last year's team, you know, which you know, Tom, you know, had the pleasure of welcoming his most talented freshman class ever throughout his tenure here at Michigan State, on paper at least, and they came up a bit short last year as well. I feel like the patience for MSU men's basketball fans are running a bit thin because it's been 17 years now. However, when you look at this team from top to bottom, the talent is jaw-dropping. And I have to say this, and this is something I haven't said, you know, dating back to last week, even last week, and where we talked heavy MSU men's basketball, Isaac.
Yeah.
And we previewed the team because it was, you know, it was media day last week as well. You know, I didn't make this statement. I feel like if Tom Izzo does not deliver a national championship this year, that window closes.
Okay. Huh.
I don't know. Now, I'm not
Leo the sidekick.
Yeah. I'm not Miss Cleo here. All right. I'm not calling me now. I'll give you a free tarot reading. I'm not that. I can't look into a crystal ball and tell the future here. But it's hard for me to sit here and to look at this team, the amount of talent on this team. Again, you look at Miles Bridges. He is on the lips of many when it comes to National Player of the Year. You get the sophomore maturity of Cassius Winston, of Josh Langford, of Nick Ward, who was a pleasant surprise last year, right? You get two incoming freshmen who look like are going to be immediate impact players. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. has the potential to be a one-and-done player. But you got Jaren Jackson Jr. You got last year's Mr. Basketball runner-up, Xavier Tillman. You got, you know, a plethora of big men to go along with that. And Gavin Schilling, who's healthy now, knock on wood. You got Ben Carter, who just got granted a sixth year of eligibility. Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nieren Jr. is one of the best leaders this team has ever had. If they don't get it done this year, Isaac, I don't know when they are going to get it done. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know when they'd get it done, but I would push back against that because basketball, more than any other sport collegiately, is so circumstantial. It really is. For one player makes such a difference because you got five guys on a court, and it's not like football where if you've got a guy go down, he's instantly replaceable, especially for this MSU team. But assuming no injuries, this is one of the top three teams in the country. No two ways about it. But as I said, one of the top three. This is not as if MSU is head and shoulders above everybody this year. Mm-hmm. They are one of the best teams in the nation. But do you remember back in 2014, I believe it was, when UConn won a national championship? That was a weak team. That was a number 7 seed, Kevin Ollie's first or second year in charge.
Right.
They did not belong in that conversation for a recent championship team. They just weren't that talented. Yet they did it without the best recruits or the best players or the best chemistry, even, just because it was their year. It came together at the right time. It fell apart at the right time when it came to other teams.
College basketball so unpredictable. That's the thing. So, I mean, when you talk about the NCAA tournament, it's a one-and-done format. And and it's all about matchups.
Exactly.
It's not like the NBA. That's the thing about that frustrates a lot of NBA fans, including myself, is because you always know that the cream is eventually going to rise to the top. Sure, the Houston Rockets may have knocked off the defending NBA champions in game one of 82, you know, an 82 long regular season. However, I mean, do we really think that, you know, if it comes down to Golden State and Houston in the Western Conference Finals, is Houston going to beat Golden State in a seven-game series? No. However, that you may catch them on a night or two. In the NCAA tournament, that's what makes it so beautiful and so random because of the parity. You just never know. It's all about matchups. We've seen upsets happen every single year. That's college basketball.
And that's what
that's
I'm saying.
College basketball.
I'm just saying this team could conceivably make the Elite Eight, have a good year, lose to a very good team just because they were having an off night, and suddenly that MSU team from 2015 still finishes with a higher position than this year's MSU team.
And fans, I just feel like fans now, Michigan State men's basketball fans, are not going to be happy with that result. I feel like
they
MSU basketball, I'm just kind of trying to put my finger on the pulse of the fan base right now because, you know, cats that I went to school with and students that I know here on campus, you know, they're so excited about this season and they feel like it can be so special. And it's been so long since Tom Izzo has won a national championship that I feel like if they don't get it done this year, the frustration level is going to be very, very high. Is it fair? No, because I think that realistic college basketball fans take into account what we just said. The tournament can be so unpredictable at times. And you talk about, you know, a college basketball year, injuries happen. It's so unpredictable. And this team looks good right now, but you just don't know what can happen throughout the course of a year. However, at the end of the day, people are going to have the same thoughts that James Taylor has right now on our Facebook page. They got to get it done, or there'll be a lot of unhappy people, I feel like, in mid-Michigan. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, you can join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite to the show Deshaun Tate. That's right, men's college basketball columnist for CBS Atlanta. Deshaun will help us break down, again, we'll talk MSU, you know, men's basketball with him, but he'll help us break down the bigger picture of the college basketball year, and we'll also talk about the FBI men's college basketball investigation. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Was that a fun night last night, Little Caesars Arena, or what? The Detroit Pistons opening up the regular season and christening LCA with a win. Pretty impressive stuff, I must say, when watching the Pistons do what they did yesterday. We'll see if they can keep it up, and we'll see if they are consistent throughout the year. However, that's the way you want to open up a year. And I really believe, you know, it was interesting because after that game, I watched Stan Van Gundy's presser and I listened to Dwight Howard's press conference on NBA radio after that one as well. And I listened to some of the national commentary concerning the Detroit Pistons, and many national analysts believe that the Pistons will make the playoffs this year. As to how far they go, who knows? But I believe the Pistons can snag, you know, those final three spots in the NBA's Eastern Conference. It was pretty impressive what they were able to do last night. What a star-studded affair it was for Detroit fans out there, as Eminem actually welcomed the Pistons back to Detroit, downtown Detroit at LCA. I put that on my Twitter feed, and I feel like I need to tweet something about Eminem every single day because, you know, I got like 30 retweets and something like 40 likes. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to do this every single time Eminem is on the television. But he came out the Batcave because you rarely see him out in public like that in Detroit. So that was very cool stuff. Big Sean was in the arena as well. That was very cool. They actually, Eminem and Big Sean, you know, Eminem, one of the greats of the past hip-hop history and still today, to be honest, and Big Sean, who presently is killing the game in hip-hop, both from Detroit. They took a picture together, and I saw Kid Rock was also there. I must say, I was a bit disappointed, though, because watching that game, again, this is the opening game for the Detroit Pistons, and you look into the stands, and not a lot of fans. Not a lot of fans were there, and that moved me the wrong way a bit, I must say. Now, again, you're talking about a midweek game, Wednesday nights. People have to work in the morning, but it's a 7 o'clock tip. You'll get out at 9 o'clock in your downtown Detroit. You get to bed around 11, you're fine to go to work tomorrow. I didn't understand that. My brother, who is a lawyer in Detroit, he had, you know, he was about three rows away from the court. I mean, he's balling like that. He took my nephew down there, and he was snapping me the entire time, and I was a bit jealous, I must say. He was sitting there. He had on his Detroit Bad Boys hoodie. My little nephew had on his Detroit Bad Boys hoodie as well. So he had a ball. He had a great time. And also, I want to give a big shout-out as well to Dave Bing and Bob Lanier, two guys, especially Dave Bing, who have given so much to the city of Detroit. I thought it was very cool how they honored Dave Bing and Bob Lanier before tip-off last night. I'll dive more into the X's and O's of the Detroit Pistons later on this hour. Before we get to our guest for today's current sports, again, DeShawn Tate, men's college basketball columnist for CBS Radio and CBS Atlanta. I want to invite right now one of our dear friends and callers for a brief call. Line 2, Ray from Indiana. Ray, how you doing?
Skipper, I just got done jogging. I was thinking about the bullies.
You're always thinking about the bullies. Ray, is there anything else that you think about?
Thinking about them?
You always have something about it.
I remember I used to get that Wolverine magazine. You ever heard of it?
Never heard of it.
Well, they got, like, it's like Michigan State's thing. But anyways, I got it for years, and they were bragging about how they were so, so very close to getting Rick Pitino. I wish they would have got their wish. They might have won a national title, but they would have had a big scandal like they deserve.
Oh, boy. Ray, the hate is real, man. I don't know anybody. You know, we've had some callers, Isaac, and you know, listeners and viewers that, you know, weigh in on their hates, you know, because we're here in East Lansing. We're right here on the campus of MSU.
Of course.
So we have a lot of callers that call in, Ray, who just despise the school down the road, the University of Michigan. But I don't know that we have a caller that despises U of M more than you, though. I think you take the cake. What's that?
Do they love me, the haters?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. You should see every day. I mean, you got fans on our Facebook page right now. I mean, Ben and James and Steven. Every time you call in, I always see, you know, at least three comments on our Facebook page that says, "We love Ray." I kid you not, Ray. I kid you not, man. So keep bringing
it. I just thought of something when I was out jogging.
What's that?
The Messiah. You know, the Messiah they brought in two years ago?
Jim Harbaugh. Yeah.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh. Well, you know, the years are running out, Jimbo. You only got probably 2 years left if you keep losing to Michigan State and Ohio State. So you know what that means?
What's that?
Jim, you got to go out and cheat in recruiting.
Oh, boy.
So we know you're going to turn into another Rick Pitino. In a couple of years, when they fire him, which they will, and they learn how to humble themselves, which they won't do forever because they're pride and arrogance. You better humble yourselves down there, Michigan. Your years are running out. And you're not even, of course you're not as good as, they're not a rival to you because Michigan State beats the hell out of you every year.
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you so much.
God bless you, buddy.
We appreciate your call. You know what? For any U of M fans out there that listen, are you really going to let Ray call up every single day and just give it to you guys out in Ann Arbor? We need like a U of M Ray to call.
We do.
We need some balance. We're all about balance here at Current Sports. Are there any U of M fans that want to challenge Ray? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Because I would like to see somebody post Ray up. That would be entertaining radio.
I know Apachu's a U of M fan, too. And, you know, we haven't heard from Apachu in a while. But whenever he calls on, Apachu's got the very measured level approach to his calls. Take it very analytically and with a lot of history. Ray, it's pure animosity, unadulterated. And that one in particular, you can hear it in the tone of his voice.
That was evil.
It's sinister.
Oh, I tell you. All right. Speaking of evil, Rick Pitino of the Louisville Men's College Basketball Program. That was a great segue, right? Before we bring on DeShawn Tate, men's college basketball columnist for CBS Atlanta. I do want to play just a brief snippet and get the initial reaction. I'm sure Deshaun has already seen the almost 7-minute sit down one-on-one between ESPN's Jay Billis and Patino. But I want to play a bit of a snippet of it right now and get the reaction of Deshaun.
Did you know that any of your assistants were having communications with Jim Gatto?
No, not to my knowledge. If they were, it was about, I knew Kenny Johnson. If I tell him, look, I got some communication about, we want to get our players into Adidas Nation. When I say players, University of Louisville basketball players, to work Adidas Nation because they get a chance to play in front of all the pro scouts. So we had three or four that were going to do it. Dang, Nadell couldn't do it. He was hurt. So we had Ray Spalding and B.J. King go and Donovan Mitchell the year before. So most of our communication and assistant coaches was about that. Or about AAU programs that are represented by Adidas, players, that type of stuff. But nothing to do with payments or anything of that nature.
So as head coach at Louisville, your interaction with anyone from Adidas would be how often?
Well, based on my text messages that I turned over to the FBI voluntarily, based on that, it was very minimal, maybe two or three times a year.
On Tuesday, you filed suit against Adidas, the United States District Court for the Western District of Kentucky. Why did you decide to file suit against Adidas now?
Well, they terminated me without a phone call, and that's not the reason. It's not revenge for that. I felt they're largely responsible for what has gone on, and they took my love and my passion away from me. Not all of them. There were other reasons, one being one of my coaches. Took my love of my life away, besides my personal family. So they are responsible for their actions. As I take ownership for two hires, they must take ownership for what they did.
Rick Pitino, that's just a snippet, a taste of last night's one-on-one interview with ESPN's Jay Billis and Rick Pitino. Again, that sound comes courtesy of ESPN. Rick Pitino basically trying to defend himself amidst the allegations in which he was, said to have had some wrongdoing in the whole recruiting of certain players and the wire transfers of money. He is no longer the head coach of the University of Louisville men's college basketball program. Right now, I want to chat with Deshaun Tate. I want to invite Deshaun to the show, men's college basketball columnist for CBS Atlanta. Deshaun, first off, how you doing, my man? And thanks for taking some time this afternoon to join us. Deshaun, can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here. Thank you for having me, Al. You know, anything for you and Isaac behind the glass, the producer of the show, man. You guys do a wonderful job, and I'm just overly humble and thankful to be a part of current sports.
Always good hearing from you, brother. First off, I'm pretty sure you watched the one-on-one interview with Billis and Pitino. Just before I start diving into specifics of the chat, what's your reaction from the interview, especially after hearing those snippets in relation to Pitino's relationship with Jim Gatto, the exec from Adidas? Just your reaction from it. I'm curious to get your thoughts.
It's simple. Nobody believes you. Nobody's buying it. Nobody believes you. I'm sure that some of the past things that, you know, had occurred with Coach Pitino that wasn't worthy of FBI and NCAA infractions, FBI investigations, did not help leading up to this point, i.e. being, you know, the prostitution scandal or whatever you want to call that. Those things did not help. But I don't believe Rick Pitino. There's nothing that he can say that will give me a reason to even believe him. I mean, hey, you think about it. You know, he's saying that he didn't know anything about this. I think we heard the same thing out of Joe Paterno. And regardless of whether it's the truth or not, you are the one. They call you head coach. You're not assistant for a reason. You're not the secondary guy for a reason. So you have to start from the top all the way down to the bottom. You don't have Andre McGee, the former assistant coach, to blame this time around. He's talking about he voluntarily gave audio samples to the FBI. Are you kidding me? Like, yeah, after the fact, he's talking about a lot of things he could have prevented He's talking about them now, things he could have prevented before to where he wouldn't have been in this situation. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden he wants to take the blame for his part that he had to do with it. One of the things being hiring assistants, but you have to be over it's similar to a pastor at a church. You have to be over your congregation. You're the guy that's over the deacons and the whole board. So I'm not buying anything he's saying. And one thing that he definitely shouldn't have said is said anything in regards to two words, which is taking responsibility. It's a little bit too late for that, because when the FBI comes knocking at your door, Al, let me tell you something. This isn't about vacating wins. This isn't about the NCAA and vacating national championships or banners or any of that kind of stuff. This is the FBI. You better believe when they come knocking at your door, they've got proof that you did something wrong. It's unfortunate for college basketball, but I hope and like to think that if from a positive and optimistic standpoint, if something good can come out of this, hopefully it will be to clean up college basketball, the game itself overall as a whole, and potentially the quality of the brand of basketball at the next level, which is ultimately the NBA.
Brian Bowen, Deshaun, Patino, you know, he reiterated that he had no knowledge of an alleged payment from a Cardinals assistant coach to the family of high-profile recruit Brian Bowen. And his commitment, you know, as you know, to Louisville was very surprising. You know, looking at the timeline, you know, he on May 8th, you know, he unofficially visited Oregon. Then, you know, and Louisville wasn't even in the running or listed as one of the schools in the running for him. I mean, you had Michigan State, you had Arizona, you had Texas, you know, Illinois, Indiana. I mean, Creighton, there were so many schools. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Then all of a sudden, on May 29th, he visits Louisville, and he commits on June 3rd. When that commitment occurred, did the thought cross your mind that something fishy was going on here?
Absolutely. Absolutely it did. However, I don't think that this is any different from a lot of the commitments that chose schools. I think one of the things that was a red flag, obviously, was not only the fact that Louisville was not even in the running of the top schools to land Bowen, but on top of that, the fact that of like 100 of the top 100 or top 150 players coming out of high school to put their first steps on whatever campus it is, he was the last one. You won't typically hear about a top 20, top 25 kid that's the very, very last person to commit to a school. And yes, $100,000 is a ton of money. It's a lot of money. But I think that we need to open our eyes up to something a little bit bigger, which is that's just a top 20, top 25 kid that could maybe make it to the NBA, maybe not paying out, maybe be able to produce at the next level, maybe not. But what kind of numbers are being thrown around to top two, top three kids, you know, perhaps $250,000 to $350,000? You know, we have bigger issues to talk about here, one of them being reclassification. We're hearing about kids reclassifying everybody from, you know, Austin Riley at Auburn last year. I mean, Marvin Bagley this year, Jonte Porter, the younger brother that reclassified now, who was supposed to be entering his senior year in high school, now about to step on the Missouri campus with his brother and the huge standout Michael Porter Jr. And even more so, even though it's legal, you know, some of these kids that whose parents, one of them being the Porter Juniors, that, you know, whose parents are getting assistant coaching jobs to get them through. It was similar to the same thing with Michael Beasley at Kansas State. Let me tell you something right now. There's not a doubt in my mind, or I don't question, hey, Michael Beasley didn't grow up wanting to go to Kansas State. They offered the head coach of his AAU team a job as an assistant at Kansas State, and that's where it came from. So, you know, I hate to put it like this sometimes. It's almost like some of these parents are kind of quote-unquote, maybe this is the word, maybe not to use, but pimping their kids.
Oh, no, that is the word. That is definitely the word. I like that word, actually.
Yeah, for sure. Pimping their kids. And can you almost blame a parent from that standpoint? Because if they don't do it, then there's a college institution at the next level that's going to do it for them willingly. So of all the things, I think it's sad, but at the end of the day, you know, the reality is I don't think that there is necessarily a solution to this, and it's going to carry on because – you also have it doesn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if later on we ended up finding out that kids are being paid to transfer from one high school to another high school to build a huge program before they even get to the college level.
I don't know. I don't know if you saw this story, Deshaun, but I'm seeing it's a rather new story that broke about 2 days ago. But sneakerheads know, you know, just how tough it can be to get a hold of Kanye West shoes, the Yeezys. Isaac, you know the Yeezy sneakers? They are so expensive. So expensive.
Overpriced.
Very overpriced. But documents, because, of course, Patino had to shell over text messages to the FBI, Deshaun, and I thought this was pretty entertaining. Documents from Patino's lawyer show that the former Louisville coach texted with Adidas exec Jim Gatto and tried to score some zebra style Adidas Yeezy Boost 350s. The best part of the exchange, aside from, of course, Patino's request essentially getting shut down, is the coach mistakenly calling them and spelling Yeezys as Y-E-E-S-Y-S. Very hip from Patino. So I thought that was pretty comical in a very dark situation here, Deshaun. When it comes to the ripple effect that this investigation will have on the world of men's college basketball, how big of a black eye is this?
I think that it's pretty big, but sometimes we need to think about, regardless of how sad it is, instead think about how it can benefit, like I said before, the quality of the game. Will this force to put the one-and-done rule to rest, you know, maybe even do away with the AAU, perhaps, which I know some people are not really a huge fan of. And I hope that it can ultimately clean things up quite a bit. But I'm really not sure how much is going to help. Sometimes I think about other programs. I think transfer programs is going to be really huge at the end of the day with what's going on right now. Also on top of that, outside being some of the quote-unquote cleaner programs. How much will it help the cleaner programs and some of these transfer programs? The Oregons, where you see a lot of guys typically transfer to there, Gonzaga, Wichita State. I mean, the list goes on and on. But I will say this. I don't want people to forget about this. The NCAA served Rick Majerus, the former Utah Utes coach, for purchasing Keith Van Horn a turkey sandwich at a deli.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And during the night of losing his dad, when his mom provided, his mom, the head coach's mom, provided homemade milk and cookies during a film session, but he didn't report it. And now we're talking about something a little different. Another team that's caught up in this whole investigation, the University of Miami, who the FBI just served its subpoena to head coach Jim Larranaga. Ironically, is it a coincidence that Miami, Florida has their best recruiting class in school history coming in this year? I don't want people thinking that this is just an Adidas thing. By any stretch of the imagination. But realistically, we need to look at this thing and see how the tables have turned. It's a new era. It's a whole new generation. And because the players don't necessarily need the coaches anymore. The coaches need the players in order to, kind of solidify their status as a top head coach. It's all about the recruits you can get in. It's not even really necessarily about winning championships, i.e., I hate to say it, but the elephant in the room, John Calipari.
Yeah. Very, very true. And you know what? And I think that's a good point you make. We're running short on time here, Deshaun, but you bring up a great point because the NCAA has done nothing to help its case in this whole investigation as well. The NCAA, we all know, you look at some of the rules and regulations that they have. They are absolutely ridiculous at times. But the reason why the FBI got involved here is because you talk about legal matters, right? You talk about illegal wire transfers. Can't do that. That's a no-no. Deshaun, before we get you out of here, I want you to just kind of briefly comment on the Michigan State men's basketball team. MSU Madness kicks off tomorrow night. Miles Bridges has been named as the Big Ten preseason player of the year. Your thoughts on Tom Izzo's Spartans this season?
I'm excited to see what Tom Izzo can do. I mean, the reality is this, whether Spartan fans do or don't want to hear it, I think they've been a little spoiled with the success recently of Tom Izzo and what Michigan State has been able to do. But the Final Four cannot be the pinnacle anymore. Michigan State has to cut down nets. They have to win the national championship. I think that a lot of this will start early in the season where they typically don't do as well. Usually, you hear about Michigan State more during the month of March, obviously, and they can't afford to leave national championships on the table the way that they did 2 years ago. You know, with Denzel Valentine and losing the first round to MTSU. So I will be up there. First of all, congratulations to you, Al, for being the lead guy for the Midnight Madness on tomorrow. But even further more than that, I like to think that they'll win a national championship. Duke is going to be a huge, huge test for them. I like that game just in general. I like Michigan State to win it, but they're going to have their hands full with Trayvon Duval and Marvin Bagley. I'll be up there in Chicago for that one, but that's where it starts. They've got a really, really good team. The chemistry will be the deciding factor, but Miles Bridges can't be the only guy. Minnesota's going to be really good. Wisconsin's always going to be Wisconsin. Northwestern is going to pick up where they left off. They're going to have some confidence. Michigan State's going to win the conference, hopefully win the conference conference tournament. That may not happen. They'll prepare for March and hopefully make a long run.
DeShawn Tate always bringing the heat. Men's college basketball columnist for CBS Atlanta. DeShawn, fantastic job as always, my friend.
Al, thanks for having me, man. You guys be good.
All right, before we say bye-bye to you all on this Thursday, October 19th, we do have another caller on line two right now. We've got Dave from Wyoming that wants to chime in. Dave, we got 2 minutes. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to say, and your guest did comment on it, but if a parent is unscrupulous or just decides to cash in, court records indicate that Mace Weber, Chris Weber's dad, was getting funding for Chris to go to Country Day, directing his prep career. So how many kids who are 12, 13, 14, really talented? Another kid is Josh Jackson, whose mother got shoe money from one company to be an AAU coach, to have an AAU team. And then he went to Napa Wine Country to a basketball factory that had big relationship with another shoe company, apparel company. And then, to me, it's all Josh Jackson did was get raises along the way, although that hasn't proven. But I think that's what it looks like. And when a kid is 12, 13, 14, really talented, these guys aren't secrets anymore. Those parents, they can start saying, oh, you're going to play with this AAU team, or we're going to transfer you to this high school, et cetera, et cetera. And by the time the kid really figures it out, you've got a parent-child dynamic that's still pretty powerful. So it's as much of the parents directing these kids who are under 18 for economic gain than anything else. I think the best way to get rid of it is to make the NBA have a real live minor league system, and these guys can sign a pro contract right out of high school.
I agree. Dave, very well said. Yeah. Short on time, but great point. Appreciate your call, my man. All right. We got to say goodbye to you all. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. An absolutely loaded show. Sorry about Throwback Thursday. We'll get to the NFL tomorrow as well. Great combo, though. It happens. Radio. See you tomorrow, folks, and be easy, people.